Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast from First Baptist Church at the Fields. I'm Dr. Brent Taylor, and we invite you to join us each week in worship. I am praying for you and trusting God will use this message to encourage your faith and strengthen your walk with Him.
Well, hello, church family. I am doing something a little different today, but this is something God put on my heart, and I'm really excited about sharing this with you. You know, our church has experienced some incredible things. God has just been working in ways that really are remarkable, amazing, and personally, I'm so grateful for what God has done. And today, I want to talk to you about something that's really been on my heart quite a bit. In fact, just not too long ago, our staff met together and we had a retreat. And in that retreat, I shared with our staff something that was really on my heart. I talked about four things in particular that were really on my heart. And one of those I want to talk about today. And that's the idea of us as a church being even more deeply committed to sharing our faith, to sharing the gospel with people, to evangelism. You know, one of the things that is great about our church is we have a lot of opportunities for people to come and to hear the good news of the gospel. We've got events that happen throughout the year, whether it's vacation Bible school or camps or programs that we have, church concerts, Christmas, Easter, all those things that we have. But when you read the Bible and when you read the New Testament doesn't say that God wants us to build the church on events and just having people at events. The Bible has so much to say about each and every one of us who call ourselves followers of Christ to be active in sharing our faith, to be active in communicating the gospel to people that we encounter on a regular basis. And the Lord has just really placed on my heart the importance of us as a body being even more deeply committed to sharing our faith, to personally sharing our faith with people, to inviting people to hear the gospel, but also being equipped on our side of it to be able to communicate the gospel to someone else. Now, if you've ever been in a situation where you've had the opportunity to share Christ with somebody, you know that that can make you really nervous. So I'm a pastor of a church. I have been to two seminaries. I've gotten degrees from seminaries. I have been trained in the Bible. I've been trained in theology. I've been trained in all of these things. And I have to tell you something. I wholeheartedly believe the Word of God. I mean, I deeply believe in my heart that the Bible is true. I deeply believe in my life that the message of the gospel is the message that transforms people's lives. And probably many of you out there are kind of like me in that regard. Whether or not you went to seminary is not the point. The point is you believe the Bible, you believe the Word of God, you believe what Scripture says about Jesus, about His death, burial, and resurrection, and you believe that people who do not know Christ as their Lord and Savior are on a pathway of destruction. They're headed to what the Bible calls hell. You believe that, I believe that. And yet at the same time, you're probably also like me. And that is when opportunities come to share the gospel with somebody, I get nervous. I get nervous. And I wish I could tell you that I had a perfect record of sharing Christ with people. I wish I could tell you that I was 100% on the money every time. Every time somebody was placed on my heart, I immediately shared the gospel with them. But that's just not the case. That's just not what has happened in my life. I have found in my own life that I have not done that. I have actually gone the wrong direction. And there have been times that God placed on my heart, hey, share Christ with that person. And it's like I just try to close out God's voice. I just try to shut down what God is saying to me and don't pay any attention to it at all. You may have been in that situation. I know I'm not the only one. Now, there are other times that God's placed on my heart the need to share my faith with somebody, and I do it. I share the gospel. I talk to that person. Sometimes that person receives Christ as Savior. Sometimes that person just walks away and they don't want anything to do with it. I've been in all those situations. And it's so exciting when you share Christ with somebody and they receive Jesus as Savior. It's such a moment there, such a spiritual moment. You just feel like you and that person have a spiritual connection with God in that moment that you can't describe. But so many Christians don't do that. In fact, statistics show that most Christians will never share their faith in Christ. I mean, it's well over 85% of Christians will never share their faith in Christ with someone else. And yet, when you read the Bible, it is so clear that we are to do that. We are to be sharing our faith. So the question is why? Why do people not share the gospel with those that they encounter? Well, there's a lot of reasons. Let me just mention a couple of them. One is fear. One is fear. That's the one I mentioned just a moment ago. That opportunity arises and we get afraid. We get scared in that moment and we're too afraid to communicate with somebody the gospel of Christ. Another reason that it happens, I think, is because of what I would just call spiritual apathy. We know we're supposed to do it, but we don't do it. We just choose not to do it. And we know that people who don't know Christ as Savior are on a pathway to hell. But to be honest, we don't care enough to really do something about it. That is spiritual apathy. And it's not, you know, hate is not the opposite of love. Apathy is the opposite of love, just not caring. And so when we don't care about the spiritual condition of people, well, that's going to affect whether or not we're ever going to share the gospel with somebody. Another reason I think people don't share the gospel is just because of those social pressures. They're just afraid that this person's going to reject me. I'm going to say this. They're going to look at me like I'm strange. They're never going to talk to me again. Especially if it's somebody that you work with, you're kind of nervous about, am I going to violate the HR policy of our company? Or there's this idea of political correctness, of course, that's in our culture today. And so a lot of people are just afraid. They're just afraid of saying anything because of those pressures around them, those social pressures, that political correctness that is around them as well. Some people, I think, underestimate, in fact, I think all of us do this really, we underestimate the power of the gospel. We know that God has power. We know that Christ can do amazing things in people's lives. But I think sometimes I find myself, a person who believes in the power of the gospel, I find myself at times underestimating that power. God, could you really change this person? I mean, I just met this person and yet you've placed on my heart to share with them. Or I've known this person for a long time and I've known all the things this person has done. And we just underestimate the power of the gospel. I think there's really, those reasons that I mentioned are really big reasons that we have to battle through. We have to believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us as we try to summon the courage to speak to somebody, to reach out to somebody, to make that connection, that spiritual connection. But I think that one of the main reasons, and it's what I want to address today, is the lack of knowledge, that people just don't know how to communicate the gospel. So in just a moment, I'm going to show you a way to communicate the gospel. And that's why we're doing this by video, because I want to share this with you. Today, when you leave, we're going to put a tool in your hand that is going to be helpful for you, that you'll have in your hand. You'll be able to find it online as well. But also, we're going to have this video that we're sharing with you today. We're going to have it online so you can go back and watch it again if you want to do so. But before I move to that, before I tell you this way of sharing the gospel, what I want to do, I told you why people don't share the gospel, but now I want to tell you why we should. Why is it important that you and I communicate the message of Christ and we communicate the power of the gospel? And the first reason is something that is really important, and that is obedience to the Great Commission. You know, we talk about people's famous last words, you know, the last thing that they said before they died, or something that somebody says before they go off and you'll never see them again. Famous last words. Well, when we think of famous last words, we have to think of what Jesus tells the disciples. We call it the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28 talks about that, about going into all the world and sharing the gospel, going into all the world and making disciples, Jesus says. In order to make a disciple, they've got to become a disciple. To become a disciple, they've got to have that encounter with Jesus Christ. They've got to be born again, as Jesus said. They've got to be converted to faith in Christ. Even when Jesus was ascending into heaven, he tells the disciples right before he does, I want you to go into all the world, preach the gospel, the power of the Holy Spirit's going to be upon you, and you're going to go all over the world, and you're going to share the message of the gospel. So it's really just out of obedience. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, the command of Jesus that is on your life, it's on my life, it is on your life, is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. So we can't just ignore this and just say, oh, this is just for people who have some kind of gift of evangelism. No, that's not what we're talking about. Everybody, every believer has this commission, this great commission of Jesus on their heart, on their life. That's you and that's me. That's why we have to take it seriously. The second reason we need to do this is because it reflects the heart of God. When you share your faith, when you share the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are reflecting to people God's heart. You're showing, you're revealing to people God's heart. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that it is the will of God that none should perish, but that all should come to saving faith. God's will is that people be saved. And so if it's God's will that people be saved and we are followers, then we should be about the Father's business, as Jesus says. Another reason that we must be committed to personal evangelism is it's God's method. Listen to this verse in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. The question is raised, how then can they call on one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. God's method is for us to go out and to share. I mean, how can people hear the gospel if we're not out preaching the gospel? Now, when it says preaching there, you don't have to do what I do on Sunday mornings. You don't have to find some pulpit to set up in your office. It's the idea of telling, of communicating the message of Christ. So this is God's method that He wants us to do. It's His commission. It also does something that's really great. This is one of the great benefits of sharing the gospel is it's going to deepen your faith. What takes our faith deeper are challenges. And we know that when we go through the storms of life, we know how the storms of life have the ability to deepen our faith if we will allow that to happen. But also not just the storms of life, but also the victories of life deepen our faith. And when you share Christ with somebody, it doesn't matter whether or not they receive Christ as Savior. When you share the gospel with someone, you are actually deepening your faith. You're growing your faith in the process. So if you want to be a more committed, deeper follower of Jesus Christ, then communicating, sharing the gospel with people needs to be on your list. It's obedience. It's part of the way that we reflect the heart of God. It's how we show how we participate in God's method, but it'll deepen your faith in the process. And here's what's awesome. When you do that, there is an eternal impact. The Bible tells us that all of heaven rejoices over someone coming to faith in Christ. So you are being talked about up in heaven. Hey, did you hear what so-and-so did? Did you hear what Bob did? Did you hear what Susan did? They shared the gospel. And this person came to faith in Christ and they're rejoicing in heaven. So it's deepening your faith and you are having an eternal impact for all of eternity. For all of eternity, that person that you shared the gospel with, you're going to have just this connection with. You know, I remember when I was at an event one time and I was with a group of people at this event and it was a Christian event and it was at the old Reunion Arena. Some of you are old enough to remember the old Reunion Arena. And we were there at this event, and people were sharing, preaching, there's music, all that kind of stuff going on. And there's a girl that I went to church with. I went to church with this girl all throughout my growing up years. And she just turned to me and she said, "Brent, can I tell you something?" And I was like, "Sure." I didn't have any idea what she was going to say. And she said, "Can I tell you something?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "I don't know that I have ever received Christ as my Savior." And I said, "Then we got to talk. We got to talk right now." And we sat down in those seats at Reunion Arena. And I was able to share with her the gospel, and she prayed to receive Christ right there in those seats at Reunion Arena. Let me tell you something. For all of eternity, Krista and I will be in heaven and we'll talk about Reunion Arena. We'll talk about what happened in that moment, because what happened in that moment didn't just happen in that moment. It happened and will happen for all of eternity for what Christ did in her life. The last thing I would tell you as to why we ought to do it is because our church needs this. Our church needs this to happen because we can see the gospel going forth as a church, people being won to Christ, people being saved, people being baptized, and it is going to inject excitement, energy, and the power of the Spirit in our church as we are on mission with God in a way that you cannot manufacture. You can't go to a conference and bring it back. You can't buy it from an organization. This is God's work. And when God starts working in our church and people like you start sharing the gospel with people around you and people come to faith in Christ, it's going to revitalize our church in a way that you will not believe. All right, so let's get to it. I want to talk to you about how to share the gospel with somebody. And I want to share with you today a method of sharing the gospel. All right, I'm going to show you a way. And here's the cool thing about this. Many of you may have been in evangelism training before, some type of evangelism training before. And maybe you went to one that was over the course of 16 weeks or over the course of 10 weeks or something like that, where you memorized all this long presentation. All of those things are great. Any of the ways that have been out there to share the gospel with people, three circles, faith, evangelism explosion. There's a ton of things. The four spiritual laws. There's a lot of things that are out there over the years that God has used, blessed, won people to Christ. Hallelujah for all of those. But what I want to show you today is not something that requires weeks and weeks of training. What I want to share with you today is what is just something that people call one verse evangelism. And basically what this means is if you'll memorize this one verse, then you have the opportunity to have within your heart, within your mind, this one verse that you can use to present the gospel to somebody. All right, so I want to show you how you can share the gospel with somebody in a very simple way. Now, the way that we're going to show it to you, we're going to give you a card that you can take with you, and you can use that card to help memorize, to learn, to take in. But what I want to do is I want to show you here on a board that I have a verse of Scripture. This verse of Scripture is out of Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans 6, verse 23, and it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." That little verse right there, just that one verse, if you will commit to memorize that one verse, what can happen is God can use you and that one verse to share the gospel with somebody. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to draw on the board here, and I'm going to write some words to help you know how to share the gospel with someone. And the card that we're going to give you when you leave today, it's got all the things that I'm about to share with you on it. So just really kind of focus in on what I'm saying. You can watch this video later to take notes if you need to, but I really want you to focus in and listen. But let me say this first. This is a giant napkin that we have here. You can write this on a napkin. You can write it on a piece of paper, a card, whatever it may be. But I'm using this whiteboard to show you something. Now, I have terrible handwriting. This is not my handwriting up here. I have terrible handwriting. I'm also not an artist. That's why I didn't go into calligraphy. That's why I'm not a painter. I'm not doing any of that. So you're going to see me draw, and I'm going to show you that even with terrible handwriting and being a terrible artist, you can draw this and you can do this. So you sit down with a person. When I sit down with a person, I don't say to them, hey, I just want to tell you, you're a sinner going to hell and you deserve it because of God's wrath. That is not what I say. What I tend to say to people is I say, hey, can I share with you what God has done in my life? What God has done in my life. So it's like I'm sharing a testimony. And what I will do is I'll say, God made a change in my life. And I want to tell you what the Bible says about how that change happened in my life. And I want to use this one verse. This one verse talks about the change that happened in my life. So I'll use an expression, something like that, because it helps to kind of set the table, kind of eases everybody. You're not putting them on the spot. You're instead telling your story. And there is power in your story and what God has done in your life. So what you do is you start out with that napkin, that piece of paper, whatever it may be, and you just write this verse at the top of it. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then you explain to them. You explain, all right, there's a separation that has taken place. And there's a separation between God and man. So this separation happens. So there's me over here on this side, here I am, and over on this other side is God. All right? So there is this separation that happens between these two things. Why is there a separation between man and God? Well, it's pretty simple. The verse tells us. First of all, the verse has the word wages, and you just circle the word wages, and then you can write it right here. Wages. All right, what's a wage? We all know what a wage is, especially if you're working with a coworker. If you're talking to a coworker, they get paid a wage, you get paid a wage. A wage is what we deserve. It's something we deserve for work that we have done. So we are receiving something that we deserve. We're receiving a payment. Why are we receiving a payment? Well, it says the wages of sin, all right? So the wages of sin, and then I write the word sin right here. The wages of sin. What is sin? I always say that sin are things that we say or we think or we do that dishonor or displease God. And I'll say, hey, I got to tell you something. I'm a sinner. I'm a pastor. I'm a sinner. I believe that everybody is a sinner. The Bible tells us that everybody is a sinner. We've all said, we've all thought, we've all done things that displease and dishonor God. And this sin is what has created this gap between us and God. God is holy. God is perfect. I'm not. I have sin. I've done these things in my life. So the wages of sin. So I get paid something for the sin that's in my life. So what do I get paid? Well, then you just circle the word death. Death. And then you write it here. So you've got wages, you've got sin, and you've got death. Now, explain to them what death is. Now, the word death there, when the Bible talks about death, it's not just talking about somebody dying. Like physically dying, you go to their funeral. That is part of it. But when the Bible speaks of death, it speaks not only of physical death, but it speaks of spiritual death. And spiritual death is being separated from God, not just for a little while, but for all of eternity, forever and ever. So the Bible teaches us here that because of the things that I've done, again, I'm telling my story, because of the things that I've done, those sins that I've done, I get what I deserve. I get paid what I deserve. And what do I get paid for what I deserve? Spiritual death, being separated from God forever. So that's my problem that I have. There's a great word, though. And that great word is the word but right there. This happens. The wages of sin is death. But. That word but right there means, hey, there's good news. We've got good news that is coming. But there is a gift. You see that word right there, the gift. All right? There is a gift. That's over here on this side. Not on the wages side, but over here. What's a gift? A gift is something that is given to us that we don't necessarily deserve. It's not something that's given to us because, man, I deserved a gift. A gift is something that somebody graciously, kindly gives to you. All right? So the Bible says that there is a gift. And look at what it says. And this is what's awesome. The gift of God. You don't want to miss that. The gift of God. This is a gift that has been given by God to us. The gift of God. This came from God. Now, of course, we know what that gift of God is. It's a wonderful gift, and we find that in Jesus, of course. The gift of God is what? What does the Bible say? Is eternal life. So then I write the word eternal life here. The gift of God is eternal life. What a treasure God has given to us. This eternal life is not something that I can earn. It is not something that I deserve. What I deserve is death. But instead, God has given me a gift. He has given you a gift. It's the gift of God, and that gift of God is eternal life. By the way, John chapter 17, verse 3, Jesus defines eternal life. We think of eternal life as living forever. That's part of it. But what does the Bible say? Jesus says in John 17, 3, this is eternal life, to know God through His Son. Eternal life is not just living forever. It is knowing God, being in a relationship with God. This gift of God is eternal life, but how do we get that gift? We still have this chasm that is in between. Well, it's pretty simple. And again, you know me, I told you, I'm not a very good artist, and I'm proving it to you right now. But the gift of God is Jesus Christ. That is this gift of God, Christ Jesus. He is our gift. He is our treasure. How do we go from being over here where the wages of sin is death to receiving the gift of God that is eternal life? That only comes through Jesus, and that requires trust. We have to place our trust in Jesus to cross that bridge, to cross that bridge, we have to place our trust in Jesus. There's nobody that can cross that chasm any other way. You can't jump across. You can't be good enough to get across. It is only through Jesus that we can experience that gift of God that is in that is found in Jesus Christ, that eternal life found in Him. So, what I have just showed you is something very simple. Now, what I do once you got all the picture, once you've got all this, you got the word circle, you got all that, then what I will do is I will offer that person an opportunity. Hey, have you ever done this? Have you ever placed your faith in Christ and received the gift of God that is found in Christ Jesus? The Bible says we have to turn away from sin and self, you know, all these things that are destructive, and say, hey, Jesus, I'm placing my faith and trust in You in Your death on the cross for my sins, in Your resurrection that gives me eternal life. You conquered sin and death on that cross, so I'm placing my trust in You, my faith in You, that I might become a child of God. And then I just ask them, hey, have you ever done that? And if they've never done that, if they say, hey, I've never done that, then I will say, well, hey, you can do that right now. You can pray and ask Jesus to be your Savior and Lord. And then I just lead them in a prayer. I just say, hey, we can just pray right now. If you want to do so, let's just pray right now. And so I will lead them in a prayer. Do you say, well, I don't pray very good. That's fine. You can say to them, hey, I just want you to pray. And then what I do is just take them back through this and just say, God, I know I'm a sinner and I've done all these things and I deserve death. I know that Jesus died on the cross for me and He paid the price for my sins. And the only way to You, God, is through Jesus. And so I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. I believe that He rose again, and I'm asking Him to be my Lord and Savior. You just lead them in a simple prayer like that. Now, here's what happens. Right now, you're probably thinking, I can't do that. Friend, that's the devil trying to pull you down. I'm just telling you right now. Remember I said at the very beginning, the reason people don't share their faith is because they underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. When you share the gospel, what happens is the Spirit begins to work in your heart and you begin to say things that you're thinking, how in the world did I say that? Where did that come from? It's the Spirit of God. God always blesses the presentation of His gospel, always. And so if you will step out there on faith and you will do this, God is going to use you in an incredible way. He's going to use you, and you never know what God will do in somebody else's life. When you leave that conversation, whether that person has received Christ as Savior or they've chosen not to do so, you have done what you are supposed to do. You have been faithful. We don't keep a scorecard. We don't keep a tally card. We simply are faithful to tell the good news of the gospel of Christ. So, this is something very simple. And this card we're going to give you is a very simple tool for you to take and use to share the gospel with someone else. Now, I want to say something as I close out today, and I appreciate you listening. But I just want to say something as I wrap up my time with you. I want to tell you a story about a Scottish preacher by the name of John Harper. So John Harper lived in the early 1900s, and he was a pastor, and he had on his heart a real calling to tell people about faith in Christ. He got a message, an invitation to come and to share the gospel and all around the world. And because of an invitation, he got to share the gospel. John Harper and his sister and his daughter, his wife had previously died, but the three of them found themselves on a ship in April of 1912. That ship was the Titanic. They find themselves crossing the ocean on the Titanic because he's received a message to go and share the gospel, to go and preach. Well, of course, you know the story of the Titanic and what happened. And Harper was able to get his sister and his daughter onto one of the lifeboats. But he ended up in the water, the icy water, but he had a life jacket on him. While he was in the water there with that life jacket, he was still preaching to the people who were out there. He was saying to them, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." Well, one of the men that he actually happened to be near in the water, he said to him, "Are you saved? Have you received Jesus as your Savior?" And the man said, "No, I haven't." And he said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." And Harper took off his life jacket and threw it to the man and said, "You need this more than I do." Well, Harper gave his life. He lost his life there in those icy waters. That man that he threw that life jacket to came to faith in Christ, was saved on that night in two ways. He was pulled out of the water and rescued, and he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. In fact, that man would go around and would share the gospel with other people. And he wrote a gospel tract that was entitled, "I Was John Harper's Last Convert." Well, people would talk about Harper. There's a church that's named after him, the John Harper Memorial Church in Glasgow, Scotland, which still today preaches the gospel message. Harper's daughter was rescued and all of that. She lived until 1986. When she died, his grandchildren are still members of that memorial church there in Glasgow. But people said of Harper three things about him. He had a burden for souls. He wanted people to come to faith in Christ. The second thing is he prayed that God would give him opportunities to share the gospel. He prayed for souls. And people said that when John Harper prayed, heaven and earth met. The third thing is he loved people. He loved people. Friends, I want you to know something. We as a church, must have a burden for people in our community who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We as a church need to pray for people to come to faith in Christ. We need to be known as a church that is praying for souls, and when we pray, heaven and earth meet. And the third thing is we need to love people. We need to love people and share the gospel with people. The reason I've shared this with you today is because I want you to have a tool, a way that you can be burdened for people to come to Christ, can pray for people to come to Christ, can love people enough to have a one-verse way of sharing the gospel with them. That's why I'm sharing this with you today. Now, I want you to understand something. Today, some of you may have heard for the very first time what it means to come to faith in Christ. And if you have never trusted Christ as Savior, I want to invite you today to go to our Connect Room where you can receive Jesus Christ as Savior. You can ask Him to be your Lord and Savior, just like I talked about today. I have presented the gospel, you've heard it, and if you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you've never been born again, or you don't know if you have, I want you to go to our Connect Room. Can I tell you a story? One of the guys that's in our church, he's on our staff now, Wally Goma. Wally Goma went to a training just like this one. He went to a training to learn how to share the gospel with other people. And at that training, he realized he had never personally received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he got saved at a training seminar on how to share the gospel. Friend, if you've never received Christ as Savior, you've heard training, maybe you've been in a church a long time, but you've never been converted, then just as John Harper said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. I want you to go to the Connect Room. If you want to join our church today, if you want to schedule to be baptized, if you feel God's call on your life into ministry or missions, I want you to go to our Connect Room today and let the Lord Jesus Christ do a work in your life. You want miracles in your life? Place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Give your life to Christ. And if you will give your life to Christ, I mean, not just say, Jesus, I belong to you, but I mean, give your life to Christ. Be willing to share the gospel with people. Be willing to be His witness, to be obedient to what He's called to do, to say, hey, fear is not going to have control of me. The power of the gospel is going to be evident in my life. If you'll let the gospel do that in your life, if you'll let God work through His Spirit in your life, your life is going to make an eternal difference. And you're going to see miracles happen in your life like you've never seen before. I want to pray for us. And as you leave today, be sure and pick up that card, take it with you, and learn how to share the gospel through one verse evangelism. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you that the people have been attentive to your voice and your calling. God, I pray that we as a church would have a burden for people who live in our community, who live in Carrollton and Louisville and the Colony and Coppell and Dallas and Farmers Branch and McKinney, Plano, Lord, all these places that are around us. God, give us a heart for people to come to faith in Christ. God, place a burden upon people's hearts to share the gospel. And God, give us opportunities this very week. So let us practice and prepare and be ready to share the gospel with others. God, I pray that we would be a praying congregation for people to come to faith in Christ. And God, I pray that even today people would give their heart to Christ. They'd go to our Connect Room and they would give their heart to Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray today, I pray that we would love people in our community like never before. So Father, we're believing you, we're trusting you, we're following you, we're listening to your voice, and we are believing that you've got great things ahead. So God, we commit ourselves to you today, and we commit this gospel message to be on our lips and in our heart as we are a part of your business in seeing people come to faith in Jesus Christ. And I pray all these things in the name of the one who died for us, who saved us, and who commanded us to be His witnesses, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you today.